Fun Office Report brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And Craig Breslow joins us this morning. Craig, maybe a little bit unfortunate timing this morning because we are with an unruly crowd of Red Sox fans here. Let me introduce you to them. Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Why is Ken tackling people?
Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
appreciate you taking the time, as always. And you said, I'm going to start with this, because you said last night that you went into the deadline with the mindset that no prospect was off the table and no player was untouchable. So how is it that Joe Ryan is not on this roster today?
Yeah, you know, while I am not going to get into too much detail about specific pursuits, everything that I said last night is true. And, you know, we approached the deadline trying to identify impact additions that could bolster this team, given what we have been able to do on the field thus far at the position that we're in, and the promise of a playoff push and deep, you know, postseason run. And we weren't able to line up, but in order to add impact players, particularly impact starting pitching, we had to take the position that we'd be willing to talk about anybody in our system, and we were. But that doesn't guarantee that you're going to line up with another team in order to get a deal across the line.
So then would you disagree with Ken Rosenthal, who characterized your efforts to get Joe Ryan as feeble at best?
I would strongly disagree with that, yes.
Okay.
Do you understand the chasm between your messaging and the fan base? It just feels like every year there is this promise of a new, driven, competitive, and just a new way in which that you feel that you will be competitive and aggressive at a deadline. And year after year, fans are let down. I don't understand how all these teams that you're competing with for a playoff spot in the division were able to find matches on deals that improved their team, but you were unable to.
I understand the frustration and disappointment from our fan base in walking out of the deadline without making a big splash, especially relative to what some of the other teams have been able to do. But that doesn't change what our intentions were going into this deadline, what we were willing to do and offer. And I don't think it changes the willingness that we have shown to be aggressive and get uncomfortable in making big additions to our team. That didn't happen this deadline, but it certainly happened over the off season. And we've talked a lot about being competitive and making a playoff run, and you know, the standard that our fans have come to expect from us, and doing everything that we can to honor that. It doesn't always work out because we can't always make other teams line up with you know, with these types of things. But it did not change what we were willing to do and every path that we were pursuing to try to bolster this team.
Both you and Sam Kennedy on this show and elsewhere said how aggressive you wanted to be when it came to improving this team at the deadline. Do you feel now, this morning, that you were aggressive in what you did to improve this baseball team?
I think we were aggressive in the conversations that we were having and what we were willing to do. Like I've said, though, that doesn't guarantee that we get a deal done. I also recognize that our additions and our team, I am going to be defined by what happens from today through the end of the season. And we brought in Dustin May and Steven Matz, you know, two important arms that we feel like are going to help our rotation and our pen. And we need to continue to play well and win games and get ourselves into the postseason.
So you believe that this team, as currently composed, is a team that should go deep in the playoffs?
Do believe that, yes.
Craig, when it comes to where the power lies at trade deadline, is it you? Does the buck stop with you? Do you get to make the final decision, or is it John Henry and he needs to sign off on everything you do? Who gets to make those decisions? Who has final say?
Well, you know, ultimately, John, as the principal owner, kind of can weigh in, and if he wanted to say we are or aren't going to do something, he clearly has that authority. However, you know, John leaves baseball operations decisions to the baseball operations group, and I have yet to strongly advocate for something and have John stand in the way of it.
So that did not happen yesterday. He didn't stand in the way of anything getting done.
So, Craig, if that's the case, then is he frustrated just like fans are frustrated that you didn't do anything to bring in impact players that could impact this team to make a real deep postseason run?
I can't speak for how John feels, but I can speak for myself, which is that, you know, when we had very clear priorities for the deadline and we weren't able to achieve those, there is a feeling of frustration and disappointment. But at the same time, I do think that we made our team better. I think we have a really good young team, and I think that's going to play out over the next 2 months.
Is there a danger that the players feel let down, that the players felt like they were in a position with an ad where they could be very, very competitive?
I think, frankly, I think that there is a risk in that I've been in a clubhouse during the trade deadline, and I've seen the impact of what new faces and additions can bring. I don't want to ignore the fact that we are bringing in a starter and a reliever, and I've had a handful of conversations with guys last night and wanted to make sure that they understand what our efforts were, how we tried to make additional additions. We weren't able to do that, but how much we believe in this team, which is a theme that I think has been consistent going back to spring training.
Craig, where's the $20 million you saved on Devers right now? Who gets that money? What is that money doing today?
Yeah, well, we talked about this at the time of the trade. The trade deadline is not free agency, right? And so having some financial flexibility doesn't always guarantee you a better outcome at the deadline, but our intentions are absolutely to aggressively invest in the Red Sox and the guys that we're able to put on the field.
And just on John Henry, I know you said you're not going to speak for him, but he's part of the Economic Reform Committee. We heard a couple times this week about a confrontation with Rob Manfred and Bryce Harper about the potential of a salary cap. How does John Henry and how do you balance his role in trying to reshape the economics of baseball with building a championship team?
My goal, and again, I cannot speak for John, my goal is pretty simple, and that's to do everything I can to build a championship team on the field. That I don't anticipate changing, and if and when there are different constraints, as imposed by Major League Baseball, we'll operate within those to do everything we can to bring another World Series to Boston.
So how close were you when it comes to Joe Ryan?
Without being able to speak about specific pursuits, this isn't someone who is currently on our team. We felt like we were very aggressive in pursuing a number of controllable starting pitchers. Ultimately, controllable starting pitching didn't get traded, but it wasn't because we were unwilling to talk about anyone in our system.
Craig, when you go back to what Curtis asked in the beginning about losing the fan base, Alex Cora spoke about it, but last weekend, Fenway was filled with Dodgers fans. When you look at that, when John Henry looks at that, does that worry you that moving forward, that Red Sox fans are selling off their tickets to the opposing fan base and not showing up?
Well, certainly when Fenway is packed with Red Sox fans, it's an electric environment. We appreciate it. Our players appreciate it. that's the environment that we're trying to create and maintain, and know that that is a consequence of the team that we've got on the field. But the 26 guys that we're gonna put on the field tonight are gonna do everything they can to provide that level of competition and entertainment for our fans, and we're going to do everything we can to compete at a high level. We've got a really good, young, athletic, dynamic team that I think is exciting to watch. And we've got a bunch of young players that are now in the upper levels of the minor leagues that should be impacting this team in the near future. But we want Fenway to be a very, very difficult place to play for opposing teams, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that happens.
No, no disrespect to the two arms that you got, and you mentioned a couple times that you believe you improved the team there. But when you say we are going to aggressively go after an impact arm, and you don't end up getting it, whatever the reason is, do you feel like you let down the fans on this?
I feel frustrated and disappointed that we were not able to walk out of the deadline room with the controllable impact arm that we set out to add. That's, I think, the way to characterize this, but I'm not sure there was anything more we could have done in order to get us closer or ultimately over the line.
I thought the big reason, one of the big reasons you were brought in after Heim was let go, was that Heim was too resistant to make a trade. Heim wasn't willing to make a Chris Sale deal and other things, and you came in, executed the Sale deal, and there was a feeling that you were going to be more aggressive. Is it possible that you overrate the prospects that you have in these negotiations, and that's why the Yankees and Astros and Blue Jays and Rangers were able to improve their team and the Red Sox were not, outside of a couple fringe guys?
We really like our minor league players. Is it possible that we like them more than other teams? Sure, probably because we acquired them, we have relationships with them, but I do think that we have a number of conversations inside the office in our, you know, in our deadline room about what our goal is and what we're trying to accomplish, and that's to win the World Series. And we have to be willing to get uncomfortable with trading some of our young players in order to do that. And I think the most important thing is that we were. It just didn't work out this deadline.
Is it an intentional focus of the team? And it's okay to say it because I think it would help fans and others understand it. Is it, when it comes to prospects, what you're talking about, is it a focus of this team to hang on to them because of the control factor, and it is a financially responsible way to manage personnel going forward?
No, I don't think that this was a control thing. Like I said, if it were about finances or holding on to our players at all costs, then we would go into a conversation with another team saying, hey, we're not going to talk about this player. This player is untouchable. We wouldn't trade this guy. We go into a deadline thinking, you know, we would like to avoid trading these guys if at all possible. But by the time Thursday rolled around and we were aggressively pursuing adding impact players, we weren't unwilling to talk about anyone in our system. If that was going to get a deal done, we were willing to include these guys. It just, like I said, it didn't work out. And I think, you know, there's strong evidence of that willingness when we talk about what it took to get Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox. There were a number of guys there that I think we could have taken the position we'd have been unwilling to trade. But we didn't because of the need of our major league team.
So why does it work for other teams, though? In the case of Merrill Kelly or you name the player, why does it work for those teams and you can't make it work?
The short answer is another team who's trading a player has to like our players more than they like another team's players. That doesn't always work out. I don't think that's an indictment of talent. I think each team values players a little bit differently. There are trades that come across where I'm sure we all say, huh, that seems like a really heavy return or a really light return. But the reality is the value is in the eye of the beholder, and we have to figure out ways to line up with other teams in order to get trades across the line.
All right, Craig Breslow. Well, proof will be in the pudding, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning, and we will catch up with you again next week, I am sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox.
We couldn't find a lineman.
No alignment.
No.
I like it. He's the only one that gets bigger booze than me.
Well, it sounds like that they overvalue their farm system compared to what the rest of the league thinks.
Nobody's interested in their prospects, I guess.
Or any of their players, I guess.
Well, I don't think the players he wanted them. Well,
they said everyone was on the table. Yeah, they were willing to get it done.
That's cap, because last night when we played the audio, he was like, well, you know, we like the chemistry. We don't want to move on from anybody on the major league club or anything like that, but – I think that they might overvalue or in the minds of what they think their
prospect. Well, then you add another prospect.
I agree with you.
Give them 10 prospects.
I think Curtis.
Yeah, throw in John Henry's yacht.
I think what Curtis said earlier is more of where they ranked when it came to their prospects. Mm-hmm. It was when we had a certain three guys on for prospects.
That were in the minors at the time.
I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, part with one of those, part with Christian Campbell.
It's so infuriating hearing this. Like, it's not a math equation. It's a freaking baseball team.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, if you overpay for a guy that helps you get to a World Series, who cares? Like, the Red Sox
for a bunch of guys, Chris Sale, David Price. Think about all the guys they overpaid
for. Right, and I still think David Price was a good signing because without him, you don't win in 2018.
Yeah.
And World Series are kind of important. Keith Foulke was signed for a 4-year deal. In 2004, he threw his arm out. But would anybody give up on the Keith Foulke deal because you only got 1 year out of him? Of course not.
This is Tom in the truck. Tom, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, everybody. I don't know what you guys are all going crazy over. I think the Sox did the right thing. They don't want to give anybody up. You guys are carrying on like this Joe Ryan's the next coming of Pedro, and he's not. Okay. They weren't going to go anywhere. They weren't going to do anything even with a Pedro in his prime.
Okay.
And on a different note, my buddy Butchie's out there watching
you guys.
If this
team had Pedro, they wouldn't be doing anything? What are you talking about?
No, I don't think this team is good enough, even with
With Pedro in his prime and Garrett Crochet and me playing shortstop to get to the World Series.
All right, listen. Maybe some who feel that way. Maybe some don't feel like this team.
They're in the playoffs today.
Correct.
Right. But that's, and we don't know what Joe Ryan is going to be, but at least we know he's going to be a legitimate number two.
Yes, you know what he is. He's a legit number two. Yeah.
Right.
You have a incredible 1-2 punch in your rotation. Like, yes, for a while. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Heidi Watney, who is doing tonight's game.
Apple TV. So it's just a tutorial for you to figure out on your computer.
Yeah, I got to figure that whole thing out. Yep. Probably have to get the QR code going. And I think the issue is probably I probably got Brees and Julia still on the all the streaming. I got to cut them off on that.
Well, because if they log in from their house, it logs you out. So that's why you can't.
I'm going to be accused of stealing streaming.
Right.
I pay like $13 a month for Spotify. I know, big bucks, or my dad probably does.
Yeah.
But when Jess and James are using it, it takes it off of mine.
And yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Why do they?
It's frustrating.
Netflix, you can each be watching Netflix and watching a different show.
You can stream this show for free, I'll tell you that, on the Odyssey app or on the iHeart app, or you can go get our podcasts on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. We will also get the Hill Notes before the show ends this morning. Right now, from Fall River, here is Courtney with what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The trade deadline came and went for the Sox. Craig Breslow didn't do anything after getting Steven Matz on Wednesday night. They got pitcher Dustin May from the Dodgers in exchange for two minor leaguers. We just had him on for a bit. He answered all of our burning questions. If you missed that, you can listen to it on the Odyssey app.
Did he answer them, though?
Yeah, he tried his best.
Okay.
Word salad is what we call that. The Sox back in action tonight. They have the Astros in town. 7:10 first pitch from Fenway. Sean McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Chargers beat the Lions 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game. And in Washington, Commanders receiver Terry McLaurin requested a trade. This comes as a result of frustration over contract negotiations. That is what's trending. We have your Hill Notes coming up next.